Thanks. Like she said, I'm the social media strategist for Coldwell Banker. And Coldwell Banker is a residential real estate brand. We are not only in the United States, but we are international. We have luxury brands. We have, you may see our signs in your metros. What I basically manage is all of the Midwest. So we have several companies within the Midwest. And I manage one that's in Minnesota. And so the case study that we're going to talk about today is actually a case study from Minnesota. How many people here are from Minnesota? Anyone? No? Oh, yay. Okay, so you've probably heard of Coldwell Banker Burnett up there. And that's just one of our many companies. So when I'm talking about like launching this advocacy program, I'm talking about also selling it to leadership, not only in one area, but in multiple areas. Since we have many different companies, those are different business units, they have different leadership, they have different sales associates, everything is different about them. We kind of work as a agency within Coldwell Banker for our sales associates. And so today, when I'm talking about leadership, that's really what I'm talking about selling. So basically, the employee engagement platform that we are using is something that we can feed to our sales associates, managers, employees. And when I was first thinking about a platform, what I first thought about was not what we usually talk about. What we usually talk about as marketers and entrepreneurs is that point of pain. And today I'm really going to talk about the point of share. What's going to make your employee, your contractor, go ahead and share that content? And do you already have it? You know, because that's half the battle. Half the battle is finding that content. So you're probably wondering why there's a dog, a house, and a bunch of people on the screen. And the reason being is these are my points of share, just as an employee of Coldwell Banker. And I'll tell you why. First of all, we just purchased almost a 100-year-old bungalow here in Chicago. And so obviously a lot of the things that I'm going to be sharing real estate related would be home maintenance tips, because 100-year-old bungalow, lots of maintenance. No one tells you that. Secondly, it's home decor, DIY, all of those sorts of things. Building a garden box out back of my house. That type of content. So I'm already sharing that type of content as an employee. Secondly is, and I know that a lot of your companies have this in place already, so why not share it? That's our charitable foundation. And in Chicagoland, that charitable foundation is 27 housing-related charities that we actually are involved in. And our employees are very apt to share that information on social media already. So we know that we have that content that is there and waiting to be shared by even more of our employees. For example, this is a Special Spaces dream bedroom makeover we did for a little girl that has cystic fibrosis. So that's something that is my point of share. I love that about the company. It makes me proud to work there. But it also is very reshareable, and we see that already happening. Third is that adorable puppy up there. His name is Goose. He is a pit bull, a boxer mix that we rescued at the end of 2015. And the reason being is we had a Homes for Dogs campaign that we launched nationally, where we actually partnered with adoptapet.com and rescued over 20,000 dogs across the United States through this social-based campaign. So of course, I'm looking at these dogs all the time online, and who can say no to that face? So those are obviously the types of content that I know that I'm going to share as an employee. And so that's where I sort of started out. So in terms of our audience, I think audience is obviously one of the first things that you should look at when you're launching any sort of program. But our audience is sort of threefold. We have our consumers, which is our home buyers and sellers. We have our contractors, our sales associates. Those are the people that would actually be using the advocacy program along with our managers and employees. So those are the people that I'm thinking about when I'm launching something like this employee engagement platform. So the next thing is your goals. For us, it might be a little bit different than for anyone who's launching a, an advocacy program. How many people here have already looked into tools for employee engagement programs? Okay. So we are using it not only for employee engagement, but also for those sales associates. So if you are an insurance company or something like that where you have contractors that work underneath you, this type of platform might actually be extremely valuable for you in terms of recruitment and retention of those sales associates or contractors. So that was definitely one of the things that we wanted to do by launching a platform like this, and that was one of our target audiences. Also recruiting for our managers. So if you don't know, real estate is all about recruitment, just like the Marines. Not as noble, but it's all about recruitment. Our managers are pounding the pavement. They are going out. They're using email campaigns and things like that. And they're also using social, but maybe not very well. So this is a way that we can also help them to find recruitment. And then thirdly, but not by any means lastly, is brand awareness. And all of the content that we are pushing is content that comes from us. It may not always look and feel like it comes from us, but it does. We are creating content specifically for this platform. We are also creating content that is we've already created and we're reusing for this platform just to be able to get it out to even more people. So next up was choosing a tool. If you have looked at advocacy tools, you know that there are now tons and tons of them out there. And we started doing this research about 2 years ago. The VP of marketing came with this tool that was actually from a Chicago-based company. And it was a great idea. It was not there yet. I was not going to push it out. The back end was not user-friendly. The front end was not user-friendly. We did a lot of going back and forth with that company trying to make it work, and it just really wasn't working, so we did not launch. And of course, that's always important, because if we send something out to one of our sales associates and we try to launch a platform and it's not ready, they're just never going to look at it again, because they don't have to, because they're not employees. And you know, an employee advocacy program, you're not usually going to make them participate in anyway. But a sales associate is definitely not going to ever log into that again. So we did a lot of research, and we ended up going with a company called Bamboo. It is by Sprout Social, if you're familiar with that social media management tool. And the reason we did that was because we were priced out of several models. So we really dug into Bamboo. They're also our partner as a social media management tool under Sprout Social. So we're already familiar with our reporting. That reporting looks very similar on the social media engagement tool as well. So we went with Bamboo, and we did that because they were really, really great at adapting the tool for us. We were one of their first users, so they did things like we would give them feedback. They would come back to us with actionable items that they really did put into their programming, which was extremely helpful for us. The next thing was mobile. Obviously, real estate agents are in their car. They are sitting at an open house. So they are not on desktop most of the time. If it's not mobile friendly, and if it doesn't work on every single device, because please, we have Windows, phones. There's people with Blackberries, but there's also people with the iPhone and every Android you can possibly think of. So the fact that they have a mobile web component and it's not actually an app really, really worked for us. So three magical words, or three words that make you want to cringe. Executive buy-in. Like I said, our VP of marketing was already on board. She was already, okay with that tool, but we had to go sell it to any of the companies that under Coldwell Banker that wanted to do it. So we first approached our largest company and the one that we have the most content that's already created for, because that would just be easier. But they declined to use it. They are now launching now. So they are getting on board with this product because they saw the success that we had in Minnesota. But we went to the leadership team and ended up trying to answer the question that we all have issues with, and that's, what's the KPI? What's the ROI? And the way that we did that was that we launched a 10-person test. So I'm going to tell you about that in a second. I just like this stat because I think it's so true. 79% of marketing pros said that two of their biggest obstacles are measuring online social media and demonstrating return on investment. 85%. I think that's probably higher, especially a couple of years ago. So we launched a 10-person product test, and we really paid attention to who those users were going to be. And those users were managers and leadership, like a couple of managers and leadership, and then some of the sales associates that were already using social media. We socially stalked all of the 250 people that are on this trial. But for the 10-person test, we used really influencers. And we did that so that we could not only test the product and see, you know, if it was going to work on an end user, because when I look at a product, it's going to be a lot different than what the end user is experiencing, because I might be more savvy about how it actually works. And so we really wanted to get a real world test and to also grab some data. And I'll show you what we did with that data in order to give the ROI and the KPI. So along with Bamboo, we came up with like a formula to give them an actual cost. And this was the formula we came up with: users times average followers times average shares per week divided by 1,000. You get the CPM times 52 weeks. Seems like, whew, that's a lot. But so we knew that we were going to try 250 users. So we started out with 250 users. And then we said that of those 250 users, the average person has 850 people that follow or like or are connections with them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. And those are the three platforms that we are focusing on and that Sprouts or that Bamboo actually uses. So that's where we came up with that average. Then the average shares per week, that's where that 10-person test came into play. We saw that on the 10-person test, it was on average, they shared 11 times per week per person. So we took that number and then divided it by 1,000, came up with the CPM. And the CPM that we gave this was $3.50, which I think was a good number. I don't think that's in any way inflated. And then multiplied that times 52 weeks per year. And so we came up with a marketing dollar value of $425,000. I know that seems like a lot, but the fact is that the way McDonald's talked about it yesterday, was that they that your followers have 10 times more followers than we do as a brand, and it's completely the case. We've already overshot those numbers that we had come up with. So the users times average followers times average shares per week. So what did we do for launch in order to get that employee buy-in? Because like I said, if it doesn't work the first time, they're not going back. And since this is absolutely not required of them, we really wanted to let them know how it would affect them positively. So what we did was we went to the managers, and we had them personally reach out. First, we educated the managers on what the tool was. So we had them go into the tool. We had them connect their Twitter, their LinkedIn, their Facebook. And then we walked them through on a webinar so that they kind of had a little background information on what Bamboo was. Then we gave them a script. And we told them, here's what you can say if you don't really understand the tool. Managers love scripts. I don't know. It's something about recruiting. Everybody who recruits loves scripts. So We gave them that information, and then we said, here's the five people that are in your office. We have 23 offices in Minnesota. We had them personally reach out. So in your business, you could have that manager of that department reach out or something like that. But we initially only opened it up to 100 individuals. And the reason we did that was so that we could get some buzz around it, so that it made it feel exclusive. And if there's anything about real estate, it's about, like, if this big performing team has this tool and they're using it, I want it, because that means I'm special too. And so there's always that exclusivity and that specialness that really, like, helps trigger the response for the initial sign up, and then also trigger the response for use. So we gave the managers all the tools. They reached out. They had that personal touch. Then we followed up with an email. And when we gave the managers the information, we also gave them a video. Now, this video is actually directed towards our sales associates, so not just our employees, but this is directed towards our sales associates. So it's all about what this will do for them. And it just has music in the background, but don't worry about it. I won't dance. So it's an easy way to share content on social media. And it was a special invite, so it will help you build your brand following without the huge time commitment. And this is why I don't do voiceovers. So you can focus on your business, and we find all of the content for it. And like, there's like really upbeat. I'm gonna send you an email weekly. Pick and share the articles or blogs that you like. You don't have to share everything. This is not automated. You can even schedule posts or tweets. We'll receive an invite from Bamboo and our little guy. All you need to do is plug in your social media accounts, and you're there. And then we invite them to a webinar. And those webinars were 15-minute webinars that we recorded. And it literally only takes 15 minutes to explain this product. So that's one of the other things I like about it. You know, so easy, and that you can digest it in 15 minutes. We actually segment out a time for 30 minutes, but rarely do we have enough questions to warrant more than 20 minutes. So what ends up happening is we gave them the access to their webinars so they could be on a live webinar with Bamboo, with us. Or they could self-set up, which we provided them with videos on how to set up, provided them with videos on how to actually use the tool, so how to go in and, you know, use it every Monday. Every Monday they receive an email, and in that email, when they're on their mobile device or on desktop, they can just click, you know, share. They can read the article right on their device. It's very easy, and we've had good success with people signing up. There is a level of gamification, and I know that if anybody was in here listening to Monsanto, he said that they are not using gamification. We are using gamification because legal hasn't got to us yet. I don't know. We are a highly regulated industry, so just don't tell anyone. But and the way that we're using gamification is who has the most shares per month. And we haven't done anything with impressions, but we're thinking about it. And we reward them with gift cards currently. Maybe down the line we will come up with different ideas for what that gamification item will be. But so far, it's really taken off. And we've actually segmented it so managers get one prize, I guess, and sales associates can have another prize. So, and when I say managers, I'm also including our regular employees as well. So we have gamified that and made it fun for them. So content. Like I said earlier, if you already have content, that's half the battle. And it's really important that that content be true, of course. Because I like this quote, marketing used to be about making a myth and telling it. Now it's about telling the truth and sharing it. And who can call BS on you more than your employees, honestly? If it's not true, they're the first people to know, and they're not going to share it. So really thinking about that when you're putting together content and curating it. So I was recently, well, maybe not so recently, at a conference, and it was with some Fortune 100 companies, and they said, who here has a content strategy written out? And like no one raised their hand, and it was pretty amazing. So now is a good time, if you don't have a written content strategy, to put that into place. It's just a good excuse to do it. So it is all about what it is that you want to share right now, for your employees to share, for your sales associates to share, for whoever it is that's on your employee advocacy program to share. And it's usually the things that strike a chord with them. So like I said, our charitable foundation things always are shared. Events that are going on within the company, which are usually charitable in some way or fashion. For our sales associates, we share a lot of information that is helpful for those consumers. So buying and selling information, DIY, etc. The same type of content that we are creating and selling or sending on our social channels, we are repurposing for our employee advocacy. And then, of course, reusing content. This is not, let me go back. the employee probably hasn't shared that video that you made 2 years ago that is still relevant today. So reusing the content that you may already have, this is a perfect space for that. Since we actually publish about 40 articles a month in this space, sometimes I do have to reuse content. Sometimes I do also use our international and national content as another source. We use also some of our PR placements. Earned placements are something that goes into our content as well. It's just a great time to outline that content strategy and really define what you want to do. So measuring success. We measure success primarily with brand awareness and recruiting because we also push recruiting messages for our managers. That is more of the salesy stuff that we're actually pushing, but it's also necessary because our managers may not be doing that on their own. So it's content that they could use if they would like to. And then another is, just measuring success by social sharing. So I'll just break that down. So if your objective is brand awareness, on a platform like this, you can, obviously measure impressions. You can measure your social shares. If you have it linked up with like a Bitly, then you can also do like CTR, which is primarily we measure impressions and shares. That's our primary goal. The objective, if your objective is recruiting, then the social shares of job postings, obviously. Referral traffic to your career pages, we do track that as well. But when we are talking about our career pages, it's usually not for the OA position in an office. It's usually for those sales associates who are technically contractors. And then applicants from social employee referrals. And sometimes you have to go old school and have HR actually ask the question, where did you receive this lead from? So that's what we're doing, is going old school. And then social selling. This doesn't really apply to us because our sales cycle is so long. People don't buy houses every day or sell houses every day unless you flip them. You can obviously track your volume of sales leads and your conversion rate through any of these platforms. So this is just an example of some of the metrics that we track primarily. And if anybody is on Sprout Social, is anybody on Sprout? Yeah, that report probably looks pretty familiar. They launched a reporting for this, and then they pushed it out for the Twitter reporting. So it's kind of interesting. But we can see how many shares per active user. We can see the total shares. We can see how many stories were active for that period. And those stories are the content that I'm feeding. We do not have an agency feeding any of that content. And then we could see what happened in terms of how many shares were done by the employees and managers and sales associates. Facebook is definitely our biggest platform. That's just in general. So that was no big surprise. I actually thought LinkedIn would be a little larger through our managers, but maybe some training needs to be involved in that. Which we do plan on doing also is more training and keeping that going, because we don't want people to forget that email is coming every Monday with the content that they can share for the whole week. Take 5 minutes, share it. You can schedule it out, and then it's done. You know. So this is also a great place to just figure out the stories that are most often shared through your engagement platform, and then keep feeding those types of stories. Obviously, all of ours are about home, and that's sort of our storytelling anyway, is what's going on about home. So tips to prepare your home for the spring market, home projects worthy of your tax refund, 2016 home trends, etc. So those are the type of content that we do continue to feed. So when we were talking about measuring employee adoption, we launched with a 100-person test, and then we went into 250-person test in that market. With our Chicagoland company, we'll be launching with 500 or 750. And the way that we chose those people was by socially stalking them. And then also getting feedback from leadership and our managers as to who might want to be on this tool. And also thinking about it as a way to kind of reward those sales associates or employees who we've seen that want to grow just within the company and then within social. So we have 81% adoption rate, which, if anyone here is in real estate, is pretty darn good. Normally, when we launch a new tool, it's more like 25%, because they don't have to do it. But it, because I think we made it really exclusive to first launch, that's why we see such a high adoption rate, and because we chose the right people, and that's really, really important. Plus, you don't want to waste your dollars. We have 1,300 agents in Minnesota. I'm not going to give it to somebody who doesn't never going to go on social. So I'm spending my money on the people who I know will use it. So average shares per employee, we figured it was going to be 11. It is 24 per active employee, but per employee in general, it's 14.4 shares per week. So we felt that that was a good metric. We actually thought it would be lower. And then obviously I said that the Facebook was our biggest amount of use in terms of shares and impressions. So we had estimated by the end of 2016, that our reach would be about 2.3 million impressions. And that was when we were estimating 250 users. So just based off of our 100-person user launch, that number will be more around 2.37 million once we have all of the numbers from our 250-person test. Obviously, that's going to be a lot bigger. So does anyone have any questions about anything that we went over? Oh, no. Oh, yeah. I'm so scared.
So you were talking about the content.
Mm-hmm.
Do you just push out things that are related to the brand and like basically branded content?
Mm-hmm.
Or do your realtors and salespeople managers want to see like lifestyle stuff and stuff mm-hmm. that might not be connected to the brand?
Right now, we are only pushing out content that is ours, but we do create content that is lifestyle content, specifically for this, just so that we can also appease leadership, because they do want everything to kind of be coming from Coldwell Banker Burn It in some way, or Coldwell Banker Previews, or any of the other million Coldwell Banker subsidiaries that we have. So, yeah. Anyone else?
When you're developing your content, and you're sending the email every week, do you ever, or have you run into the situation now where your employees or your team members are posting like the same, like you have a large group of team members that are posting the same content where it's now becoming a little bit spammy, because I'm guessing like this, they're in the same industry,
yeah.
So they probably follow like a lot of the same groups, they probably have a lot of the same following, so how do you solve for that?
Okay, well, one is, all right, just to like rewind, I guess, a bit, we did have a platform called New Panda, and it was horrendous, and sorry if anyone here is from New Panda, but it was a social push. There was no, like, it just pushed things out to Twitter, Facebook, etc. Even on Twitter, it tagged everything at New Panda, which made me want to. But anyway, that was, like, the case. I mean, it was like the Twitter feed was just, like, the same stuff, and it was terrible. But this, I guess we've solved a little bit of that issue, and in the fact that none of this stuff is scheduled at a certain time or date. They just have the access to the articles, so they can schedule at whatever time, date, et cetera, they want. They can also go in. We provide the Twitter message, the LinkedIn message, the Facebook message for them, but they can go in and change any of that. So, yes, it is some of the same content, but a lot of times they do go in and modify the messaging as well. They modify it coming from their voice a little bit better. So there could be an issue with that, but I think right now we don't see that. I just don't have the budget. So we have the budget for this now, but not for that. So we don't syndicate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Other than through our through national and some of our international, they might syndicate, but that's very rare.
Is trying to utilize LinkedIn a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
and we have a pretty large sales team, and they're all fairly well connected, so we're trying to utilize their networks.
Mm-hmm.
Our executive staff has kind of taken a stance of, well, if we're asking them to be more active on LinkedIn, they're just opening themselves up to lose employees.
Mm-hmm.
So any thoughts on how to combat that attitude?
They're going to leave anyway. I don't know. Ask the career builder guy. But, I mean, yeah, if they're going to leave, they're going to leave. I guess that would be my... But we have a lot of people who are already advocating for our brand on LinkedIn without any of these tools behind them. And that's just because of recruitment and because of our company culture. Like, if you have a company culture... I'm not saying this about you. I don't know who you work for. But if your culture is not good... to begin with, that's always the case anyway, so.